Gentlemen, tonight is Simin Lamed Beis. If noon, and I want to complete the Simin Beis Hashem. Absolutely, I believe. I don't know if it's mamash the longest Simin, but it's one of the longest for sure. Yeah. Okay, so let's get right. Seif Nun Enlik Nois Gidim Me'en Yehudi. We spoke yesterday about the requirement of stitching together and attaching the tefillin. The upper part with the bottom part of the bais, obviously after you've inserted into the batim the parshas, now it's going to be closed. The way it's done is with gidim. Now these gidim, these veins, we discussed yesterday, they're going to come from kosher animals. Today we are learning that ideally from a shoya. From a shoya, from an ox, from a cow. Now the halacha tonight is teaching us that en likno is gidim en yehudi. You're not allowed to buy goyish gidim. Why? You're not allowed to buy from a. I don't mean from a goy. It's not. We're not talking about veins that come from a Gentile person. No, we're talking about don't purchase gidim from a Gentile merchant. Because mishum dechashinon shemashel behemot tmeyahim. Because we don't know. Maybe who knows which kind of animal this is from? So it could be from a kosher animal. Of course, it could be from a sheep, from a cow, from a lamb. It could be, but it could be also from a non-kosher animal. And as we discussed yesterday, it's no good. It's halacha mishmisen. It's got to be from a mutu eficho. It's got to be from a kosher animal. Therefore, you consistently the halacha is you can't buy from a non-Jew because we are concerned. We don't exactly know what the source is. Now, it is strange, because I don't know what kind of market. It's not the kind of items you just go into a Tesco and see, excuse me, what are the veins? And then they say, oh, you know, it's just aisle number 8. It's not the kind of thing that you normally, I don't believe that in previous generations either, there was a need for Gidim. It was something which was specifically for Safo's purpose. So I don't know why this halach, I don't know where it comes from, because surely if a goy is selling those items, it's very unlikely, I don't know why he would be dealing in Safo's, but it's very unlikely that it comes from a non-kosher animal. I mean, why would he want to? But yes, this halach, you cannot buy from a goy.
It's a way of
the goy can make
money.
Can make more money, yeah, perhaps. Yeah. So Lemay said that's halacha. Now, what happens if you just can't get hold of it? You can't get hold. So the halacha is mokayim she'ein gidim etzuim sel shulchanoch. If you're in a place that you cannot find any of those gidim, then toifrim be talia duresh she'oisim in aklav. Then I don't exactly know what this item is, but what I do understand clearly from shulchanoch and mishtabura, it is part of parchment. You can use some very thin. Very thin parts of the parchment. You take some of the cloth, you cut it very, very thinly, and that you use as achizdamdanim gidim. Until you get hold of gidim, you can use that for stitching together the bais. So I don't exactly know. I cannot imagine how you take parchment cloth. You must be doing it really, really very thin kind of. And that's what you're putting into the hole, in and out, in and out, in and out. And that's where you're going to use klaf. You're going to use klaf until you can get hold of gidim. Yeah, I understand. But I just cannot imagine how klaf, physically, I cannot picture myself. Cannot imagine that klaf, which is quite a solid substance and not so flexible, how you could use that as attaching the two parts of the bias. I can't imagine that. Now, here comes a very famous and widely quoted halacha, which presents a huge challenge for the batimachas, which is the can you use glue? So we discussed now what you're meant to use is gidim, yeah, and that's how you put them together. So again, it's like a flap, yeah. It opens up like this. You've got the box over here, then you've got the bottom base. So this is the bottom base. You've got over here the bais, the bottom base, the mavat over here with the tzur goes is going to go through, and then you've got the bottom part. So you open it literally like this. That's how you put the parshas inside, into this square over here. And this flaps, it's like an opening. Then now you close it together, and now it's going to be stitched together. Now, that's how it works. Now, when you look at our tefillin, you can't even see that it's so compact, and it's so closed off and sealed off. You can't even tell that it's actually, you know, two parts which have been put together. So the question is, if you're doing this with Gidim, imagine using Gidim, which is it's a bit elasticy and it's a bit, you're using in and out, in and out, in and out. How tight is that going to be already? How tight is that going to be? So again, we balance it so tight that you can't even see that it was detached at one point. Check out each filling. You can't see that it looks like compact. You can't even imagine that it's four parshas which are there, placed inside and sealed off afterwards. So the answer is because people, they do it very tight, very tight. Yeah. The answer is that you use glue. Can you use glue? Can you use glue?
As well.
As well. They use glue. Now the question is, what about, is that okay to use glue? Because what would be the argument that you cannot use glue? Not necessarily. If you know how, if you cut it open with a very sharp, you do it very very gently, it won't damage it.
It's not the right min.
In other words, if I can just rephrase what you're saying, the halacha is it's got to be stitched, held together with the gidim. It's got to be held together through those stitches. Now, if you're using glue, just to make sure that it's nice and tight, and it doesn't, imagine in the middle of Shema, suddenly, and then suddenly, whoops, it pops up open, all the pashas go flying. So you may have a text, Shema to read from, it's going to come out flying, but of course, it's been never gone. So they glue it very, very tight. But the question is it joint? Is it glued together? If you're using glue, then it's not through the gidim. If the halacha is, it must be held together through the gidim. If you're using glue, then surely you could argue it's not held together through the gidim. Yeah. Yeah. So the bialocha really questions that. The bialocha asks. Oh, very interesting. So I want to just share with you Bialoch, because it's really, really a massive challenge. On the one hand, we're expecting the Bati Macha to do ritually the impossible. On the one hand, we want him to stick to the Halacha. The Halacha tells us that it's going to be held together through this item, which is called the Gidim. That's what has to hold the Tefillin together. As we learned, specifically, it's got to be the Gidim that hold it together, on the one hand. On the other hand, we want it to be nice, tight, sealed, which is something which the Gidim cannot do to such an extent. So what do you want him to do? You can't, it's like a catch 22. What do you want him to do? On one hand, you use the Gidim. On the other hand, stick it nicely together. So the Bialocha says he has a problem. If you look in Yitfoy, it's a Shemati b'shem echad in Bialocha, b'shem echad me'agdoilim, she'ezu sh'loli dabek atitur b'devek, k'odim atfira, the devek choshiv chibuk atfira. He says glue, by default and by definition, glue holds it better than the gidim. Stitching is never going to be as good as gluing. True or not true? So therefore he says, don't use it. So if you stitch later on, that's like you're wasting your time. Bialocha on the side questions that. He says, surely you shouldn't be using glue. There are some batimacha, maybe your tefillin are made like that, batimacha that are very careful, and they will therefore, because of this question of the bialocha that we just mentioned now, they will refrain from using glue. And it will be made completely, just held together by the gidim. Others, however, they have a different approach, and they want to justify a bit like you are saying. They make it very, very tight, and just put a bit of glue there, and they claim that it's not held together through the glue. It just. It's like.
Extra,
yeah. It's the additional protection. It's like, in order not to be. It's like a kind of. It's really this. It's just an additional kind of layer of attachment.
Then the Sheinomino problem goes away.
No, not really. It's not the Enomino. Enomino sounds like Chatzitz. It's not Chatzitz a problem. The problem is that it has to be held together through the Gidim. That's the Halacha. Is it held together through the Gidim? So they argue it is held together through the Gidim, but it's just that, it's just, what's the word? It's just an additional... Reinforcement, that's the word. That's exactly the word. It was a reinforcement, which therefore doesn't invalidate the problem. But the question is a good question. Depending on the meaning of the batimacher, you can check out filling out made out. Sometimes the makbil not be alacha, but mostly not.
Well, maybe it's not necessarily even as an extra thing to keep it together. But what about if it's in order to make it watertight and in order to make it so there's no hole, basically? Because no matter how tight you thread with a glue, there would be
some separation, yeah.
So if the purpose of the glue is to just make it watertight, seal it, so from the perspective of enabling the parishes to last longer because they're not exposed to any form of damp or anything.
Right. The question is that you've got to answer is what holds it together? What is actually, physically speaking, what is actually what holds it together?
Maybe the purpose of the glue is not to hold it together, but just to seal it off.
Right. I hear. That's might be an argument. Okay, Rabbi said we carry on with Sif Nun Aleph Yitfo Shloish Tfiras Bechol Tzad. You do three Tfiros, three stitches in and out Bechol Tzad on all four directions. Vechut Atfir Yesoyve Mishtei Ruchos. The Chut Atfir, the string must be from both directions. Vyave Chut Atfir Bein Kol Bais Vbais, and the string has to go from Bais Vbais. In other words, he goes in and out, in and out, in and out, on both ways. Hagom Yuim Lo Osarak Yutfiras. If you did only 10 tefillahs, that's fine. Or pochs mezen and nifsal. If you do 10 tefillahs, 10 stitches, that's okay. V'yesh mishoemish yud beis tefillahs elu yeh bechut echad. So that the Shulchan Aruch does say, ideally, you should do 12 tefillahs, 12 in and out, and you should try to aim it in a way that you got one long string as opposed to various strings. Do it in one go as opposed to few small short things. You do one long one, and that should suffice for all the 12 stitches. Why 12? What does 12 remind you of? Exactly. Mishnah Berurah says, Nifkotten, Reish Chof Ches. He says, Reish Chof Ches, Bechol Tzad. Tam Yud Beis Tfiras, Keneged Yud Beis Shifte Yisrael. Now, I do not know, and anybody who has got some idea for that, I wonder if anybody can think of some idea, what is the reason why we've got the 12 Shvatim represented in our tefillin. I do not know. Something to think about. I really honestly don't know. What's the 12 Shvatim, the Shiftei Kor? Why is that intrinsically connected with the way we stitch out, we put our tefillin together? It's going to be 12 stitches. I can also, I would guess three of us. Four Emois, Chamish Shechem Shetoira, Shisho Sidre Mishnah, you name it. Go through the Chatka, through the... every number. Why 12 Shvatim? 12, what is it?
Eidus
Yisrael. Eidus Yisrael.
And
Tvinis
Ois is also Eidus.
I think I heard there's a reference to the 12 vows of
David. No, but look, Mishnah Berurah says 12 Shvatim, Shiftei Yisrael. I don't know. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, what happens if a person, what happens if a person doesn't do 12, he does 10? 8, 6 is not going to be so, but you're yoitza, the mitzvah, but it's just not. Ideally, you should try to do 12. I don't know what 12 shvatim, tefillin, any suggestions? 12 shvatim. 12 shvatim.
Three on each side, being like the way they carry it.
The Mishkan.
The
Yaakov. I don't know why. I really don't know why. Okay, Siv Yud Beis, which is the final Siv. Yachnis Aretzua Toicha Ma'avarta. You're going to enter. You have completed now the creation of your tefillin. After all these 51 Siv, now you know how to make a tefillin, both a tefillin Shel Yad, tefillin Shel Rosh. What are you going to do now? We've also spoken extensively about Aretzua. What you're going to do now is you're going to put one and one together. Yachnis, you enter Aretzua Toicha Ma'avarta, with the Ma'avarta, which is this bridge. This tunnel, rather, which we mentioned about. So you're going to put this Ratzua Toicha Ma'avarta. We ask a Kesha Kemin Dalet. You make a knot, which looks like a Dalet. Beshel Rosh, which is the one over here. Right, the back of your... Here, that looks like a Dalet. There's two minogim how to do that. What we call, generally, Nusach Ashkenaz Nusach Sfat. The Ashkenaz looks really like a Dalet. The other minhag looks a bit less like a dalet at first glance, but yeah. V'shel rosh v'kemin yud v'shel Yad. You're also going to have a Yud by the Tefillin shel Yad. Lashlim Oisi Shakai. And then you've got Shakai. Why do you have Shakai? Ima Shin Shebe Shel Rosh together with the Shin of the Shel Rosh. Why was the Shin of Shel Rosh? Exactly. So you've got Shin on the actual, the letter Shin, which is an actual, on the actual Tefillin. You've got the Dalet, which is the Ratzua, which we have now the back of the Tefillin shel Rosh. That looks like a Dalet. You've got the Yud, which is over here. There must be, I don't know it though, there must be explanations. Why is the Shin on the Tefillin, the Dalet on the Yud, however, is not? I wonder what explanation all those questions is. But what's very beautiful about that, obviously, is that we're wrapping ourselves up from top till, you know, the both our head and our hand, our action and our machshavas are fully surrounded and wrapped up with the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We all, the minhag is, says Ramo, that you take oil shel habayis, oil al habayis, you take some leather, some skin, some hide on the tefillin shel yad, l'roicha v'azroya, which goes all the way till you, or until the end of your arm. V'yeroch boi k'roicha v'habayis, it should be the width of the bayis. V'lo yase akshu. Rabbi said, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah says, the meaning is to have leather which goes on the Tefillin Shel Yad. Ever heard of such a thing? The meaning is, says the Ramah, you take leather and you put on the Tefillin Shel Yad. Right, so we don't do it. And that's why you can't picture, because we don't do it. Okay, you take leather, a layer of leather, and you cover up the Tefillin Shel Yad. It goes all the way. Yeah, you cover it up.
We do it
with plastic. Yeah, yeah. But he's good. So it might be a little bit a second cousin kind of that, because he's actually referring to not just the bias, but it looks like the entire tefillin, and he goes all the way till the zoya, till he goes. So he should be. He covers much more area. We don't really do that. But I suppose the background of that is very similar to what you're referring. We're also covering the corners, the edges of our tefillin to protect them. Protect them from the shaft.
Is that what they're doing for, or is it the chalos for those
achim? No, it looks like it's a protection. It looks like it's a protection. And finally, v'loyase akshorim elach also ashin mitfilin. So the tefillin, the ritzuas, when you only make the knots of this dalet and yud after you've got the sheen of the tefillin created. V'achkach yase adalet v'achkach yase yud kaseid ois yisashem. So in other words, you've got to have first the shin of the bias. That has to be, what was the word? Not molded, but the shin has to be embossed. After that, you make the dalet of the ritzur, and only after that, the yud of the tefillin shel yad. So that's the order of making it. Obviously, when we buy tefillin, they're already made, and they're often done like that, but that's the order that it's got to be made. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's well. It doesn't mention that, but yes. Yeah. Now, there's one more point which I failed to mention earlier. I'm sorry. I'm just going to add this here because I failed to mention it earlier. It is an interesting point. We mentioned that if a person doesn't have gidim, and he wants to, and he's, what is he meant to do then? We said he uses klaf. Now the Shulchan Aruch's word is he should use klaf. Until he can reach gidim. Would you guess that the tefillin are kosher, the tefillin or not, by using klaf instead of gidim? Are the tefillin kosher or not? But it is kosher. Yeah. So Shulchan Aruch, I would also have guessed so. Shulchan Aruch is telling us halacha for a reason. You use klaf as the second best, but surely tefillin are kosher. The Mishnah does say that no, you only put the klaf in ad sheis damnu kedei shel yisbatel mitzvah tefillin. You just in order not to forget mitzvah tefillin. Sheis damnu legidim yatirom, and surely when the gidim arrive, you should then release the klaf altogether. V'yitfoy begidim. So it looks like it's not. You're not even yoitzer. Even b'shas atchak, he says. Because Alochel Mishimini Sinai indicates and instructs us to have gidim, and it's not, and that's kraf. Kraf is not gidim, and therefore you wouldn't be yotze even b'diavad. The only reason why you're doing it is just not to forget mitzvah tefillin, which is of course interesting. It's a bit like you'd say, you know, if you don't have gidim, use string, use plastic, use synthetic. Was that what you would tell somebody? See, I wouldn't have guessed that. He says, use synthetic, use plastic, use anything, and when you get to gidim, then replace it. So what's the point of that? You don't have kosher tefillin. What's the point of that? It's not kosher tefillin. But yet, Shulchan Aruch is telling us that's what you're meant to do. Why? Not to forget mitzvah tefillin. Better than nothing. We don't normally say better than nothing.
So then why
dafka the klaf? Because it's a very good question. I don't know the answer. I'd guess that's the only item that he would say do with. Anything else is too remote. And it's too remote, and he can't say shalei vatam mitzvah tefillin. No, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. It's better than nothing. Certainly, you don't make a brach on it. It's even b'shasat chak. You're not mekayim the mitzvah.
It sounds like it.
I know. If I would have looked at Shulchan Aruch without the mishnah berurah, I'd have learned that it is a secondary, but b'diavad way of being mekayim the mitzvah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So to summarize, we learned this evening. Rabbi said we learned that you're not allowed to purchase those gidim from a non-Jew. Because we are concerned it might come from a non-kosher animal. We also learned that if need be, and there's no other option, you can use klaf, but we just discussed now that even if you're not really yoitz the mitzvah, just shalot yishtakach, that you don't vatel mitzvah tefillin. It's better than nothing, I suppose, to some extent. You do three tefillas on all sides, so if you do three tefillas on all sides, 4 times 3 is 12. You go both directions, you go everywhere. If you can't do 12, then do 10. It's not yakev b'diavad. 12, we said, is 12 we do because of 12 Shiftei Yisrael. We also learned that you're going to enter the Ritzua then into the Ma'avarta. You make knots. And you've got the Sheen on the Tefillin. You've got the Dalet in the back of your head. You've got the Yud on the Tefillin Sheliyat. And you should create in that particular order. Yes, and this is the loch we discussed this evening, Abba Yisai. And tomorrow we're going to continue with Simon Lamed Gimel Bezer Hashem. We'll start the same. Okay, good evening, Abba Yisai.